Just kind of want to just everybody look up here for just a minute. You're turning there. I want you to think about the Apostle Paul here, what he's trying to tell us as a result of this ministry of the Spirit. And that Paul, though he's going through all kinds of troubles, he's got a happy spirit. He's enthused about life. And one of the things I really believe about Christianity with all my heart, one of the reasons I'm just thrilled that I'm saved and know the Lord, is we have a reason to live. We have a reason to get up in the mornings. We have a reason to go to work. We have a reason, to live. And I think one of the biggest things that God's going to tell us in this passage of Scripture tonight is, you know what? Why don't you live your life to the fullest? Why don't you just really live your life? And whatever it may be, I believe this message tonight, God wants you and I to live abundantly no matter the circumstances of our life. And I just really get it. I don't know. I'm so tired of all the depression and the down and out and defeatism that's in American psych now. It just bothers me. But anyway, so I want to tonight talk about or preach about the practical effects of the ministry of the Spirit in the believer's life. Because this is where it's coming from. Up above there in verse number 3 of chapter 4 down through verse number 6, he talked about the effect of the ministry in the lost people. That the light of the gospel would shine into them. And this is done by the ministry of the Spirit of God. When he jumps down to verse number 7 and gets on down, he's talking about the effect of the ministry of the Spirit in the believer's life. So let's look at it there. We preached this morning on verse number 7, we have this treasure. What is the treasure? Everybody paying attention. Everybody getting in the deal tonight. Hey, talk to me. What is the treasure we have in earthen vessels? Huh? We have Jesus Christ in us. We have eternal life. We have His love. We have His life in us. We have His light in us. We have His truth in us. And we have eternal life. We have this treasure, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that encompasses Him. We have that treasure in earthen vessels. Hey, nobody can take that away from you. Ain't no thief can steal that from you, amen. And it's not going to rust and wear out either. And this is one of the things Paul's going to get to. And so now he jumps down to verse number 7. And it's like he's all excited. I have this treasure in earthen vessels. And then he says this, we're troubled on every side, but not distressed. How many figured out life's full of trouble? You know, Job said, man is born a woman is few days and full of trouble. How many figured out the older you get, the more trouble you have? Amen. I mean, it just doesn't stop. And we can try to run from it and get away from it and do this, you know, and just try to do things to get our mind. But life's got troubles. You're living in a sin-cursed world. You're living in a sin-cursed body. Fact of it is, apart from Christ, you ain't going to have nothing but troubles. Now, as Christians, you got a choice in life. If you don't want Christ, you can go the world's route and you can go do all the stupid stuff they're doing to try to get your mind off their troubles. And you can drink your beer and take your dope and take your trips and do what you want to. But it's a vanity, it just runs out. But if you're a Christian, we have true, something real to deal with our troubles about, all right? And he said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. I want you to look at that. That word, you know that word stress? How many has ever been stressed out? You know what? I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't feel sorry for myself, and I don't feel sorry for you. I don't feel sorry for people. He feels, oh, I'm so stressed out. Oh, I'm so stressed out. Oh, really? Paul was beaten, shipwrecked. Yeah. I mean, left for dead. 3 times, 39 stripes on the back. He said, I've got trouble on every side, but I'm not distressed. I'm not stressed out. Now, here's the secret, because the ministry of the Spirit of God in him. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not how much the load you got. It's how much of the Spirit you got. But if we're not living in the ministry of the Spirit, we're going to get overloaded and all stressed out. And I'm just being honest with you. I look at myself, I ain't nothing but a sissy. I'm an American sissy. I'm a snowflake compared to what this man lived under. That's the honest truth. My worst day is like living in heaven compared to what he had. I'm not in Iran trying to be a Christian wondering whether I'm going to get stoned to death or shot. I'm not in Africa today and the Muslims over here 40 mile coming in wondering if they're going to come in the church service and shoot us up and cut everybody's heads off. I ain't got no problem, amen. Paul said trouble on every side, but he said I'm not distressed. Let me just tell you, you may have financial trouble. You may have health troubles. I don't know what kind of troubles you have. You may have family troubles. But if you have the ministry of the Spirit within you, you have this treasure in earthen vessels in you, You don't have to be stressed out. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, people are going to the doctors and doctors in here, take a few of these, this will help you. I want to tell you something. I have Christ, and I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm not trying to be arrogant, nothing. I'm just being honest. If this man can say I'm troubled on every side, yet I'm not distressed, then why should I be stressed out over almost nothing? And I've had my little share of troubles. I figure I've had just as much as any of the rest of you. And you've probably had what I've had. But my goodness, why don't we be a happy people? Why don't we quit putting up? Why do we want attention? We think everybody will look at us and feel sorry for us when we act like we're all down and out. Man, I'm stressed out. I don't know if I can take any more of this or not. Can you believe that America's got all this? You know, everybody wants to shoot themselves. Everybody wants to kill themselves. Nobody wants to live in America. That's stupid. I have a life. There's somebody who lives in here. I have a reason to live. And I want to tell you young people something. You live with all you got. I'm telling you what, life's going to go by fast. If I was you, I'd have fun every day. I'd rejoice every day. I'd be happy every day. I'd live my life to the fullest. Amen. You know what I tell people getting married? Go have a blast. Amen. Troubles will come. You just go ahead and have a blast. We need to start living. Some of you just need to start living. Hey, take you a big hike. Go somewhere. Do something. Walk out. I mean, do something. Live. Don't quit. Don't. This coming in on yourself. He said, we're troubled on every side, but not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. He said, being in despair is when you give up hope. He said, I'm perplexed. He said, I don't understand everything. I mean, good land, Joel Osteen told me if I'd get saved, I'd get money, I'd be happy, and I'd be healthy, and it ain't worked out that way. You know? He said, we're perplexed. Now, listen to me. You know something? I've pastored this church. I can't figure a lot of stuff out. How many of you have got stuff you can't figure out? You know what? You can't figure people out. People will perplex you. How many in here is a people? And I'm going to tell you something. I mean, people are crazy. I'm one of them. You are too. And he said, we're perplexed. You know, there's a lot of things perplexes me. I don't understand why God allows this and why God allows that and why this is allowed and why God doesn't do something here and I don't know why God doesn't get rid of the liberals. It perplexes me. If I was God, I'd go whop. Can you imagine the seething, you know, Nadler and all of them coming down? You know what? They just come out in the news for they're going to charge Donald Trump with treason. Treason. They're literally saying that he betrayed the United States when he's on that phone call with that guy. I have never seen such a Jezebel and Ahab accusation against a Naboth in my life, what's going on right now. I mean, it's the stupidest thing. Can you imagine Trump going, I'm perplexed. I mean, but you know what? I don't care what you like him, lumpy. But I tell you what, he got up the other day about Christmas and talked about Jesus Christ and the meaning of life and all stuff. Most Christians wouldn't even get up and do that. I mean, I think the guy gets a kick out of saying stuff that makes the liberals mad. I think it just makes his day. Now, I'm just saying this to you that aren't you glad? Listen, we need, you know what's going to help? We need leaders in this country who are not going to get perplexed and distressed when troubles hit them and when all that kind of junk's going on. And I'm going to tell you something. If you want to live you want to live a good life, you want to be happy, you want to have some gusto in your life, when you have troubles, don't be distressed. When you're perplexed and you don't understand, don't be in despair. Can I tell you something? I get calls every week. People are perplexed. Reggie, my wife left me. My husband left me. My child did this. My daddy did this. I mean, it's just on and on. It's just seemed like the whole world's gone nuts. And I'm going to tell you something. If you let it, where long you can get, but there's no use in being perplexed. I'm not in despair. Jesus is still on the throne. God's not perplexed. God's not, I don't understand. We'll understand it better by and by. It's just my job to trust him right now. I want to encourage you. Go out this week. Don't be troubled. Don't be distressed. Amen. Just trust him. Amen. Enjoy Christmas time. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Really? Anyway, you didn't get that one, did you? Okay. Verse number 9, persecuted but not forsaken. Well, I'll tell you something. Old Daniel, he was persecuted. Put him in the lion's den. Ain't nobody in here had that done to you. But he wasn't forsaken. Who was with him? The Lord. 3 Hebrew children put in the fire furnace. Who was with them? He didn't forsake them. Can I tell you something? If Jesus Christ ever forsakes you, he's a liar and he's not a liar. Amen. Let God be true, but every man, he ain't never going to leave you. He ain't never going to forsake you. I don't care if your wife leaves you, husband leaves you, kids kick you, spit on you. I don't care if the preacher forsakes you and you're sick and the preacher never comes and sees you. Jesus will never forsake you. Amen. Paul said, I am persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. And I love this next one. I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. I like to say it this way. I'm knocked down, but I ain't knocked out. I'm getting back up again. You know what? We need some old-time guts and backbone back in Christianity in America. Everybody's going to get knocked down. You're going to get knocked down. Get back up. Yes, sir. Get back up. See, this is the ministration of the Spirit. Makes tough people. I don't tell you what, if it left up to us, America would have never been settled with me. You heading out on the covered wagon. There's no hospital in front of you. There's no doctor's office, dentist's office. Oh, I know. You're all a bunch of thieves. You stole the Indians' land. If you believe that, give your house back to them tonight. Quit being a hypocrite. It was conquered, whether you like that or not. There's a little story in the Bible about the Israelites conquering the land of Canaan. I'm just happy tonight, amen. But I am a little weary of all this hypocrisy. If you're so politically correct that you think you stole land from the Indians, why don't you just give your house to the night? Say, listen, some of you say, well, I'll let them take all the payments. But anyway. America's just full of hypocrisy right now. Just full of hypocrisy and stupidness. But anyway, he said, I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Could you know something? You can't destroy a man's got eternal life. You kill him, what's going to happen to him? You just send him to heaven. You can't destroy a man who has eternal life. This is what Paul's saying in the midst of all this junk. And I mean, it makes, I'll be honest with you, I feel like such a sissy when I read this. I feel like such a pansy, just a cowardly snowflake, because I'll whine if the tractor breaks down. If I'm going to town, the tire goes flat. Why did this have to happen? Stressed out over a flat tire, living in American food and refrigerator. Anyway, all right. So we're just going verse by verse, having fun. Verse number 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now here's his secret. He lived at Calvary. He said, I died with Christ. My life is hid with Christ in God. I don't live for myself, I'm living for him. That's his secret, and that's the secret to Christian victory. He said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. By the way, write down Galatians 6:14 right there, because that's where it said that we're crucified in the world, and the world's crucified unto us. Paul said, I died to the world. I died to being a Pharisee. I died to being a big shot. I died to being all the stuff that I grew up thinking I was supposed to be successful in life. I died to all that with Christ. I'm dead with Christ. But then that's not just it. He's not just dead with Christ. He's risen with Christ. Look what he says. But here's what I'm saying. I want you to get. That the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Remember that broken vessel this morning? The life of Christ manifested in our body. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. He's talking about a broken life. He knew he was going to die. You know what he's going to wind up? He's going to wind up with his head cut off by Nero. Now you listen to me tonight, to understand this principle, how many believe that there were somebody died probably overseas in the Army or the Marines or Navy so you could be free? You see, in order for people to be free, somebody has to die. In order for you to be free spiritually, Jesus had to die. Paul is saying this is the essence of the ministry. He said, my life is a dying. It's a dying so that others can have life. But in that I have joy. In that I have purpose and fulfillment in life. He said, verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Look at verse number 10 and verse number 11. That phrase is in both verses. Manifest in our body, the last part of verse 10, and manifest in our mortal flesh, part 11. Here's what he's saying. I want you to live. I want you to live. And I want you to live. I'm your pastor. I want you to live. I want you to live. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have a lot of disappointments. You're going to have a lot of distresses. perplexities. Don't let that keep you from living. Satan just wants to beat people down and just have them where they're just swallowed up in sorrow and all these bad things have happened. And I'll just be honest with you tonight, if Karen and I would let it, I mean, we could let a lot of the stuff that's occurred in our lives and our families and so forth just make me crawl off in a hole. There's days when I just want to crawl off in a hole and say, well, it just the whole world die and go to hell if you want to, I guess. But you can't do that. We got a reason to live. Amen. We got a reason to live, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to live through us. It's not about us. Amen. And it's about us dying that his life can live through us. Now, watch in verse number 12. Here's that principle. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. This is ministry. You know what you mom and dads are doing? Every day of your life, you're living. Death is working in you, so you put life in your children. Ding, ding, ding. Is that not the truth? You are spending your life so that your children can have life. The same principle about a soldier going out. He said, I will go die so that my neighbors might live. There's this principle about it. But let me just say this to you. There has to be a cause to live. You know what David said when he faced Goliath? Is there not a cause? You know, there's something bigger in life than just chewing bubble gum and watching movies. Amen. Anyway, he said, verse number 13, for we having the same spirit of faith as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Jesus said, out of the heart, abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He said, I believe, I've spoken. He said, my faith is not some dead, intellectual, static, nothing. He said, there's something happening inside me. There's a reason to live. I want to enjoy life. I want to do what God's called me to do. He said, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Verse number 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up by Jesus and shall present us with you. He said, there's something I know. He said, this life is not it. There's a life after this life. And if you don't keep that in mind, it gets pretty dismal. I'll be honest with you tonight. If I did not believe in life after death and that there is a reward in the sense of serving the Lord and that I have heaven because of what Christ did you know you can get to the place where you're just kind of like, what's life about? Has anybody in here ever just thought, what's life about? Is it going to work tomorrow morning and clocking in and putting up with people and going home and eating and sitting down and doing whatever you're going to do and go to bed and get up the next morning and, you know, just... This is why I am so happy to be in the ministry. Because every piece of ground is holy ground. Everywhere you're at is holy ground. And I don't care whether you're working at a plant or you're working at a farm, where you're at, if your life turns into ministry, your life is about Christ and dying so that others can have life, then your life will have meaning. You know, mothers literally give their life for their children. Is that not true? Fathers, they give their life for their children if you have that kind of love. And it's the same thing that God did for us. We'll look at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, boy, I'd underline that if I was you, abundant grace, might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And Paul brings us always back to this primary issue that everything ought to be for the glory of God. I must live for the, I was created for his glory. And my life must be for God's glory. I don't do a very good job of it. Just being honest with you. I'm like, God looks at me like, I don't know. I mean, it's just like our salvation. Why are you saved? Why did you hear the gospel? You can't answer that question. It's just his grace. Why would God use us? It's just his grace. Not because we're good, not because we have some ability. But everything that he's doing through us should redound to the glory of God. Everything. By the way, if that is not the goal of your life, life will become very vain, without purpose. I mean, you come to the end of the road, what was it all about? I have more Legos than you. Glidden, that's not a bang on you. I know you got lots of Legos. But I'm just being honest with you. Huh?
He said he had more than all of us.
He had more than all of us put together. But the truth about it is, if you think about it, isn't life just kind of like hunting for Legos? Oh, if I just had that Lego. Oh, if I just had that. You know, I listen to these kids, they'll tell you what life's all about. It's about Legos. I saw the coolest deal the other day. Somebody's teaching their kids fractions and numbers with Legos. They're taking a Lego with eight little dots on it, and then one with six, and they're teaching fractions with Legos. Pretty cool. But if we're not careful, life's about Legos. How many Legos you got? Oh, you don't have my kind of Lego. I've got this super jet that, you know, and I've got this car, and I've got this truck, and I've got this tank. And we're just like, we're adults, but we're like little kids about our Legos. And we think, well, is that all life's about? Is our Legos? It's not. He said, everything ought to be to the glory of God. And I'm telling you right now, this is a result of the ministry of the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God, the ministry of the Spirit, not the letter of the law and religion, you just something inside you wants to glorify God. And you grieve when you don't. And you say, Lord, I'm sorry that did not glorify you. Anyway, now here's what I love. Verse number 16. For which cause we faint not. Now again, we're talking about the practical effects of the ministry of the Spirit. That which he talked about in chapter 3 instead of the letter of the law, instead of religion, this life that he gives us. For which cause we faint not. Now he started off in verse 1 with that whole deal about not fainting. I think this comes back to the distress and the despair. I think that's what he's talking about, fainting, just blowing out because of all the troubles of life and stuff. And he said, here it is, because Christ lives in me, because his Spirit works through me and has given me a reason to live and the power to live, I don't faint. I ain't quitting. I'm going. I don't care how many times they put me in jail. I don't care how many times they beat me on the back. I don't care how many times they drag me out of the city dead. I don't care how many times they throw me in the Mediterranean Sea. You know what he said in Acts 20? None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy. And this is what America needs. This is what your home needs. This is what your family needs. The thing that grieves me is what a sorry Christian I've been to my children and my family. I wish I'd be a better Christian to them. Wish they could see Christ more in me. That grieves my heart. It really does. Because they desperately need to see Christ in me. And they need to see me with hope when everything's down and out. They need to see me with optimism when it looks like there's no way. They need to see me believing when everything has turned the opposite of it. And the ministry of the Spirit is what can do that in you. And we just need that ministry of the Holy Spirit living within us, working through us. And then he said, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish... yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Boy, that's a blessing, isn't it? Isn't that a blessing? There's an inward man. You know, Dean's up in the hospital. Pray for me. I'll be going up to the hospital tomorrow and see different people up at the hospital. Pray for Terry's mother and stuff. And, you know, we're getting older, amen? We're getting older. And the outward man is perishing. Now, boy, I'll tell you, let's finish reading this chapter and we'll finish up tonight and do something a little bit fun. He says there, the inward man is renewed day by day. How does that renewing happen? It's renewing of the Holy Spirit within us as we read the Word of God, walk with God, pray, worship, meet together on Sunday. How many feels renewed sometimes when you come in here on Sunday? I mean, I know you probably went out here this morning. I was so luck at myself this morning when I got done preaching. I don't know. I just was. I don't know. You know, I like to preach happy, uplifting stuff. But it just seemed like I was, you know. But you know what? The service was wonderful till I started preaching. I'm serious, you know. But I was so, man, you all were singing joy to the world this morning. That was such a blessing. You know, and I come to church. Guess what happens? I get renewed. I really do. I get renewed. And God wants you to be renewed day by day. Read your Bible, pray, walk with the Lord, sing, talk with God, walk with God. Let God renew you. Live, amen. Can you imagine this? Anybody got a hat? Nobody got a hat. Nobody's got a hat. Anybody got a hat? Nobody got a hat. But doesn't it get your goat to see these kids walking around America with their hats turned back and their britches down? I mean, that just, I mean, I walked into church that evening. I ain't kidding you. Would all the boys that were standing over here in a cluster when I walked in and said, shook your hands, would you stand here tonight? Would you stand? Can all of you boys do it? There's one, Please, there's one right there. I know he was there, back yonder. Stand. All you boys, go ahead and stand up if you don't care. Just stand up. All right, now I want you to look around you. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of those boys. That's, I think that's what they were. And they were all there, and they're all about that high. And I thought, man, alive, what an army for God right there. And I thought, boy, Lord, if we could just, if the Spirit of God can just work in these boys, what hope there is in America. Amen. I just want to tell you, boys, something. Live. Live. Be happy. Don't whine. Amen. Don't murmur. If mama's gravy's got too much salt in it, say, mama, it's good. You cooked it. It's good. Amen. I'm just telling you, be a man and grow up. And I'm just so thankful. I walked in here and it's like I got blessed. I got renewed just by seeing these boys when I walked out. I thought, glory to God. If I had them 8 boys, I could attack hell with a squirt gun. Amen. You boys can be sit down. You can sit down. I'm just telling you tonight, hey, live, amen, live. I don't know what I'm trying to tell you tonight. I believe I'm trying to tell you live, amen. You know why live? Because you got the Spirit of God inside you. And you say, well, I got messed up. I get messed up every day. 45 times a day do I mess up. You know what? I'm just not going to let it get to me. It wasn't me that saved me. It's not me keeping me. It's Christ anyway. Anyway, he said that a light affliction. He said there the inward man is renewed day by day. I'd like to preach on that, but anyway, he said for our light affliction, which work is but for a moment. Do you think Paul was sitting in jail for month after month after month, and he says our light affliction is? He said all the stuff that's happened to me is just light affliction. Doom, despair. What, you know, to sing you a special tonight. Doom, despair, and agony. How many likes to be around that stuff? I am so glad that I serve a God who can take a man like Paul, sitting in prison, and call it light affliction. I'm thankful. I really am. He said it's light affliction. He said it's just but for a moment. Isn't that the way life is? Life is but a moment. He said it works for us. So your afflictions, Paul said, are working for you. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And that weight of glory is a wonderful phrase. And it talks about crowns, a weight. And by the way, there's 5 crowns in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. The glory that awaits us is unbelievable. We can't even fathom the glory that's awaiting us. I'm telling you right now. The crowns that God gives, the rule and the reign with Christ, to live with God forever. Can you imagine? Living with the Lord forever in a new glorified body that'll never know sin again. No Satan, no sin, no curse. He understood it. Verse number 18, and I'm not qualified to preach on this and I want too much. He said, but while we look, and I'm going to tell you something right now. What you're looking at will determine your victory. This week, Suzanne and I was cutting wood. Boy, I tell you what. She was all bounced up, ready to go. Man, we're going to cut her wood. And she was grinning and laughing. I put her on that John Deere tractor. And boy, oh boy. I was afraid to get within 25 feet of her. And we was having, it's cold. Man, we was bundled up and it's cold out. But I tell you what, we was having a blast just out there on the farm cutting wood. We was just having a wonderful time. Well, we just had a great time. We was getting a lot of work done. I mean, we was just having a blast. It's a wonderful memory. Pretty soon she says, Daddy, it's getting toward 11 o'clock. I got to get up to oh my. And I said, oh my. And you got to go. So she left. And she left. Well, then I had to get on the tractor and I had to do all by myself. And I tried to get logs up and the logs wouldn't go on the forks right. And they kept falling off and doing stupid stuff. And this honest truth. Susanna. Don't you ever leave me again. Within 45 minutes, I was absolutely in a hissy fit. Nothing was, everything up to that point had just went wonderful. We was flying through the wood. That wood was just flying. After they left, everything wrong. Nothing going right. And I mean, I had me a hissy fit. I was so aggravated. I was so ticked off. Nothing working right. Nothing going right. Get off the tractor. Get on the tractor. Get off the tractor. Get on the tractor. Get off and try to wrestle a piece of wood where it's supposed to be. You stupid logs. Can't you just get on the forks? They're supposed to get legs and crawl up on your forks, you know. So I'm going along there about 45 minutes to an hour and a half, and I mean, Randy, I'm just buzzed out. I mean, I ain't even going to tell you how bad it was. Amen. I wanted to take a stick and beat everything. And then the devil comes up and says, "What you going to preach about, Sonny Reg?" I said, "Not much, I can tell you that." That's how spiritual I am. Just want you to know what kind of preacher you really have. But I'm going to be honest with you. That's why when I come to church, it's like, I made it to Sunday. Amen. But here's, I started praying. I said, this honestly, I said, "Lord, I'm just so sick of myself. I can't understand myself. I abhor myself." I said, "How can I expect those people to listen to anything I preach? And I act and get like this in my work. What do I expect them to do when troubles and things don't go right in their lives?" Boy, I mean, I started thinking about every sorry aspect of my being. And how rotten and low down and sorry and worthless and filthy and nasty and garbage pile I am. And then there's like a little sweet little bird twittered and just tweeted my soul. Said, "Look unto me, not you." I never told you to look at yourself other than an honest assessment sometimes. But Reggie, you looking at how sorry you are is not going to fix you. You looking to me. And boy, I tell you what, you talking about broke me. "We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." Boy, I tell you what, I'd like to have a new pickup. It is about Christmas time. I don't really want a new truck. I just want a newer truck. Josh, what would you like? Would you like to have let's just try this now. How about a Jeep Rubicon? What would you really like to have? Huh? Cummins? In what? A Dodge. Where's all you Ford and Chevy people at out here? But you know something? Let's think. Why don't you think about it? Everything you can see is not eternal. You look at my body, it's not eternal. The things that you cannot see are what's eternal, and that is such a secret to life. Such a secret to life. If we could just look at the things that are not seen. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of what? Things not seen. So when you go out there tomorrow and you're working and things are going south and everything's in troubles on every side and perplexion stuff, just try to look at the things. Try to see the things that are not seen. Because God knows He's told us. We're just here a little while. See, I'm wanting real bad, but I'm not going to tonight. I wanted to go to Ecclesiastes. If the Lord let me, next Sunday morning, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And we're going to talk about this tabernacle. And there's a reason God, chapter 5. We're getting into some wonderful, wonderful stuff. But here's my main point tonight, and I've done a sorry job trying to get it off. Here it is. We have the ministry of the Spirit. We don't have a dead letter religion of law. We got somebody living within us who can take the things that trouble us, that perplex us, that cast us down, and we can be a joyful, happy people in the midst of a very sin-cursed world that's full of despondency and despair. And that's when the treasure in the earthen vessel is being light to other people. Is whenever we can have joy and a smile and hope, not give up and not quit and faint not, because of the ministry of the Spirit's within us. I'll just tell you, be honest with you, and I'm done. God has made this so clear to me because Terry, without Him in me, I wouldn't be in this pulpit tonight. He's everything. But the ministry of the Spirit is everything. Spirit of God within you. This treasure. That's what Paul called it, a treasure. There's somebody living there. Amen. I hope you're all saved. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Make sure the treasure is in the earthen vessel. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, tell you what, let's do. We're going to sing a song. Believe it or not, this is a world record. It's 747. It's like a jet, 747. And last page of this book. All righty. Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you, Don. You know, Don, really, I want to tell the whole church something. If Don Zinn didn't talk as much as he did about getting out, you'd get out earlier. Because when he starts saying stuff, that flesh comes up, and I say, I'll just preach a little longer. So if you can get him to be, let's stand together. Come on. Let's go out of this place tonight with the joy of the Lord, looking unto Him, amen, and not looking at our troubles and our sorrows. And you know what, Josh, that old Cummins, you can see it. It's not eternal. Huh? Close, but not eternal, amen. All right, let's see if I can get the right key. Oftentimes the day seems long, our trials are to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Well, I tell you what, y'all sounded good, and I don't mean maybe. That is a sweet, sweet sound. I pray tonight that the Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father is listening tonight. Amen. And hears the heart of our songs. Well, if you kiss your wife and hug your kids and kick your mother-in-law, you can go home. I love you. Thank you for putting up with me.